Yasmin.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
How are you, Jasmine?
I'm very good. And you?
Well, I'm well. Please join me in saying Anabatoa. Anabatoa. Gedula Chimincha. Tatir. Serira. Alephet Gimel Yutap Sadi. Kabel rinat amcha sag beinu tacharenu nora. Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. Na gibor dor sheyechutcha kivavat sham. Nun gimel daled yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid tamlem. Betet reish tzadi taf gimel. Hasin kadosh berov tucha na. Tet kuf bet, tet dunayan. Yachid geye, lamcha penei, zokre kedushata. Yit gimolamet, he zayin kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Tehumim, the twins, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion have a gematria of 207, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word for light, or, and the phrase Adon Olam, which means or translates as master of the universe. And En Sof also has the same gematria, and that translates as the endless world. Resh and Zion together spell the Hebrew word Raz, which means secrets. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tiyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutah. So the now that we have brought creation into our space through the saying of the Anabakoa, we're going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we'll utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav chesed ve'emet, notze chesed la'alachim, notze awon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. Now we're going to study the year of the goat, the year 5777, by connecting to two verses in the Tanakh that have the same energy. The first verse we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod Saduni Katzipor O Yavai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into three Hebrew words, Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. Second verse that connects to this energy of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tavshin Ayin Zion, is concealed. The letters of the name of the verse are separated by seven letters each, and that's the form of the concealment. Kim ba'adonai yohe wahe elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that we study. The first is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rata tohanim ha'yulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayechastum. Achechen ha-levim, ad gelot ha-mlacha, v'ad yitkachu ha-kohanim, ki ha-levim yishre levav, lehitkadesh me ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei, La Lahei, Wa Wa Wa, Yo La Yo Ala Mei, Hei Hei Hei, Aka A, Re Ka Ha. Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 4 is the second verse connecting to this energy of the pause. Bichu ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Ade Ad Kibia Yohei Adonai Yohei Wahei Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 is the energy of this year is swallowing death forever. And there are three verses that we study. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemimeni lo tarpeni adili ruki. The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, uru, mikol hamachavoiya, asher yitchabei sham v'shavtem elai el nachon, v'chalachti itchem v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, O Tob, call Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse that we study for the energy of this year, swallowing death forever, is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav. Yom Ruayo. And the verse from the year 5774, which has the energy of peace in the Middle East, there's only one verse that connects to this energy, And that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Usam ki makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shachan tata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla l'anoto kasher barishona. The parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29, that's in the Zohar, is a verse that we study that connects to the energy of certainty. And we're going to say a Lashem Yehud prior to the study of this verse. Lashem Yehud kudcha barichu ishkinte bithilu urhimu urhilu urhimu urhimu. Le'acha l'shem yud hei b'vav hei v'yehudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael le'mud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayinu amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane nandekucha berichu koma diaved leila witata kola iyo yeshot liovada dikshot veleilach mila bialma divae barnash ledachya leya mineya ulanhaga beya tulana dehakulhu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzterif bi alma. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God in our relatively new way. So please scan the first five rows. And on the sixth row, we're going to verbalize the letter names with their root vowels. Hey, hey, hey. Meyocha wawala yola he sala areo ashila meyo he. Now scan the last three rows. And now we will scan the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in that same manner. Please scan the first five rows. And the sixth row. Hey, she, hey, me, kacha, wa, wa, la, yo, yo, hey, sa, la, a, re, yo, a, a, la. And then scan the last three rows. And the names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this 26th day of Sivan. Rabbi Yonathan ben Uziel, an amazing Tana with a lot of connection for many, many different things. But primarily, if you pray at his grave, and you can do that consciously, visually, and meditatively, if you pray at his grave, he promises that he, within the year, he will match you with someone for your marriage partner. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Rabbi Chaim of Elosian, Rabbi Abraham Yehoshua Heschel of Moglenetz, Rabbi Rufuel Yosef ben Robi, Rabbi Shimon Ashriki, Rabbi Yehoshua Buchbaum, Rabbi Reuben Fine. And the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa, we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our essay with Rabbi Ashlag. You can find the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, and then you can find the handout in row 16 of the matrix on the right-hand column. When you open up, you get a list of the essays of Rabbi Ashlag. When you scroll down to class 30B, which is Introduction to the Book of Zohar, that's the essay we are studying, and we're starting at section 21 this evening. Class 30B will open you up to the beginning of section 21. And do not be led astray by the philosophers who say that the very essence of the soul is an intellectual substance, and that it only exists through the concepts it learns, that it grows through them, and that they are its very essence. And the question of the continuance of the soul after the departure of the body depends entirely on the extent of concepts that it has acquired, until in the absence of the concepts, there remains nothing to continue. This is not the view of the Torah. It is also unaccepted by the heart, and anyone who ever tried to acquire knowledge knows and feels that the mind is a possession, not the actual possessor. And I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag is teaching what we truly know, except to the extent that we have accepted the values of the society that we live within, the Western world, that the mind is a tool of the soul. The mind is not the essence of the soul. And this is a value that is taught within the current Western society. What the philosophers are described in section 21, the first paragraph by Rabbi Ashlag, this is what the society that we live teaches. And it's a mistake, according to Rabbi Ashlag and according to all of the Kabbalists. But as we have said, the whole substance of creation, both the substance of the spiritual objects and the substance of the physical objects, is no more and no less than a will to receive. And although we said that the soul is entirely a desire to bestow, it is only through corrections of reflected light that it receives from the upper worlds, from which it comes to us. My commentary. To earn the light and remove bread of shame, the human soul needs to stop the body's reaction to stimuli set up by the astrological influences with the approval of the Creator. And this creates reflected light. This is the only way we can receive the goodness of the Creator. When this happens, we earn the light of the Creator and are able to keep that light eternally. The soul only receives in order to share. The body, which is the real body, also only receives in order to share. The body in the En Sof is fed sufficient light to live, yet it receives more light than we co-create when we co-create that reflected light. Continuing to read. Yet the very essence of the soul is a will to receive as well. And the difference we can tell between one object and another is discerned only by its will or its desire. For the will in any essence creates needs, and the will and the needs create thoughts, and the concept so as to obtain those needs, which the will to receive demands. And as human desires differ from one another, so do their needs, their thoughts, and their ideas. For instance, those whose will to receive is limited to beastly desires, their needs and their thoughts and their ideas are dedicated to satisfying that will to receive in its entire beastliness. And although they use the mind and reason as humans do, it is, however, enough for the slave to be as his master. And it is like the beastly mind, since the mind is enslaved and serves the beastly desire. And those whose will to receive is strong, mainly in human desires, such as respect and domination over others, which are absent in the beast, the majority of their needs, thoughts, and ideas revolve solely around satisfying that desire as much as they can. And those whose will is to receive intensified mainly for acquisition of knowledge, the majority of their needs and their thoughts and their ideas are to satisfy that desire as much as they can. And I am adding, these three levels actually relate to the level of the souls. The nefesh relates to beastly desires. Human desires, as implied by Rabbi Ashlag, relates to the soul level of the ruach. Knowledge is related to the soul level of the neshama. The higher two levels need to be put into this discussion to relate the completion of the final correction, not just in the current 7,000-year period, but in the final 7,000-year period. That's the end of the section. Does anyone have any question? Section 22. These three desires are mostly present in every person, but they mingle in different quantities, hence the desire from one person to another, and from the physical attributes we can deduce about the spiritual objects, relating to their spiritual value. And I am adding, one possible explanation of the cause of this mingling of different quantities is that the 613 parts of the soul can have these different levels of consciousness, which is different levels of different soul parts. That's the end of section 22. Are there any questions? Section 23. Thus, human souls too, the spiritual ones, have only a desire to bestow contentment upon their Maker through the dresses of reflected light received from the upper worlds from which they come. And that desire is their essence and the core of the soul. it turns out that once dressed in a human body, it generates needs and desires and ideas to satisfy its desire to bestow to the fullest, meaning to bestow contentment upon its maker, according to the size of its desire. Section 24. The essence of the body is but a desire to receive for itself, and all its manifestations and possessions are fulfillments of that corrupted will to receive, which had initially been created only at the end of the correction. For this reason, it is mortal, transitory, and contemptible, along with all its possessions, like a fleeting shadow that leaves nothing in its wake. And since the essence of the soul is but a desire to bestow, and all its manifestations and possessions are fulfillments of that desire to bestow, which already exists in the eternal first state, as well as in the future third state, it is immortal and irreplaceable. Rather, it and all its possessions are eternal and exist forever. Absence does not affect whatsoever at the departure of the body. On the contrary, the absence of the form of the corrupted body greatly strengthens it, enabling it to rise to the Garden of Eden. And I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag is explaining those souls who correct their bodies to be completely corrected will be able to take their bodies to the spiritual level called the Garden of Eden. Thus, we have clearly shown that the persistence of the soul in no way depends upon the concepts that it has acquired, as philosophers claim. Rather, its eternality, its eternity, is in its very essence, in its will to bestow, which is its essence. And the concepts it acquires are its reward, not its essence. Section 25. Feel free to ask a question anytime you wish. From here emerges the full resolution of the fifth inquiry. Since the body is so corrupted that the soul cannot be fully purified before it rots in the ground, why does it return at the revival of the dead? And also the question about the words of our sages. The dead are destined to be revived with their flaws, so it will not be said it is another. And you will clearly understand this matter from the thought of creation itself, from the first state, because we have said that since the thought was to delight his creatures, he had to create an overwhelmingly exaggerated desire to receive all that bounty, which is in the thought of creation. For the great delight and the great desire to receive go hand in hand. We stated there that this exaggerated will to receive is all the substance that he had created. For he needs nothing more than that to carry out the thought of creation. And it is the nature of the perfected operator to not perform redundant operations, as written in the poem of unification. Of all your work, not a thing did you forget, did you omit, or do you need to add? We also said there that this exaggerated will to receive has been completely removed from the pure system, and was given entirely to the system of the impure worlds, from which extend the bodies. Their sustenance and all their possessions in this world, when a man reaches 13 years of age, he begins to attain a holy soul through engaging in the Torah. At that time, he is nourished by the system of the pure worlds. According to the measure of the purity of the soul that he has attained. And I am adding, what he accomplishes in his previous lifetimes. We continue. We also said above that during the 6,000 years that are given to us for work in Torah and mitzvot, no corrections come to the body, to its exaggerated will to receive. All the corrections that come through our work relate only to the soul, which thus climbs the degrees of holiness and purity, which means enhancements of the will to bestow that extends within the soul. For this reason, the body will ultimately die, to be buried and rot, because it did not undergo any correction. Yet it cannot remain that way, for if it the exaggerated will to receive perished from the world, the thought of creation would not be realized, meaning the reception of all the great pleasures that he thought to bestow upon his creatures. For the great will to receive and the great pleasure go hand in hand. And to the extent that the desire to receive diminishes, so diminish the delight and pleasure from reception. And I am adding, the light needs to be in balance with the vessel. If the light is too large, the vessel breaks, as demonstrated by a bursting electrical light bulb. If the light is too little, the vessel feels a lack and moves to fulfill that lack, thus manifesting aspects of the negative system. If the vessel is too small, the vessel breaks. If the vessel is too large for the light, Chas v'shalom, the vessel feels the lack, as discussed earlier in this edition. That's the end of section 25. Section 26. We have already stated that the first state necessitates the third state to fully materialize, as was in the thought of creation. In the first state, not omitting a single thing. Therefore, the first state necessitates the revival of the dead. That means that their excessive will to receive, which had already been eradicated and rotted in the second state, must now be revived in all its exaggerated measure, with no restraints whatsoever, meaning with all its past flaws. Then begins the work anew to convert that excessive desire to receive to be only to bestow, and then we will have doubled our gain. We would have a place to receive all the delight and pleasure and gentleness in the thought of creation, since we would already have the body with its greatly excessive will to receive, which goes hand in hand with these pleasures. Since our reception in that manner would only be in order to bestow contentment upon our Maker, that reception would be regarded as complete bestowal. And that would bring us to the equivalence of form, which is divakut, cleaving, which is our form in the third state. Thus, the first state absolutely necessitates the revival of the dead. Section 27. I hope you're realizing just how powerful this essay is in the way that's being explained here. Section 27. Indeed, there cannot be revival of the dead, but only near the end of correction, towards the end of the second state. For once we have been rewarded with denial of our excessive desire to receive, and have been granted the will to only bestow, and once we have been endowed with all the wonderful degrees of soul called nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yeshida, through our work at negating this desire to receive, we have come to the greatest perfection. Until the body could be revived with all its excesses and its excessive will to receive, and we are no longer harmed by it, by being separated from our cleaving, from our divakut. On the contrary, we overcome it and give it the form of bestowal. And indeed, this is done with every corrupt quality that we wish to remove from it. First, we must completely remove it until there is nothing left of it. And afterwards, we can receive it again and conduct it in the middle way. But as long as we have not fully removed it, it is impossible to conduct it in the desired middle or medium way. And I am adding, let's look at the one trait, jealousy. Once one has a desire for something that another has, we call this jealousy. Its purpose is to activate movement to acquire the thing desired. It also activates draining energy from the person who has acquired this thing in advance of us also. When jealousy is gone, the desire is gone, and therefore the fulfillment, the light is gone. Now, when the resurrection takes place, the jealousy returns in full force, and thus the light returns in full force. Yet what has also been acquired is the knowledge of how to share this desire so that the Creator is feeling appreciated for the creation of both the thing and the creature, the fulfillment and the vessel. This is the desire to receive in order to share. Thus, when the jealousy returns, the desire returns, and the light returns, and the jealousy can be transformed into the desire to receive in order to share. Thus, the desire has grown to receive more of the light, and this is how the vessel grows to receive more. Section 28. Our sages said, the dead are destined to be revived with their flaws and then be healed. This means that in the beginning, the same body is revived, which is the excessive desire to receive, without any restraints, just as it grew under the nourishment of the impure worlds before the Torah and mitzvot have purified it in any way. This is the meaning of in all their flaws. And then we embark on a new kind of labor to insert all that exaggerated will to receive in the form of bestowal. Then it is healed, because now it obtained the equivalence of form. And they said that the reason is so it will not be said, it is another, meaning so it will not be said about it that it is in a different form from the one it had in the thought of creation. This is so because the excessive will to receive stands there, aiming to receive all the bounty in the thought of creation. It is only that in the meantime it has been given to the Klipot for purification. But in the end, it must not be a different body, for if it were diminished in any way, it would be deemed entirely different, thus unworthy of receiving all the bounty in the thought of creation, as it receives there in the first state. Section 29. Now we can resolve the above second inquiry. What is our role in the long chain of reality, of which we are but tiny links, during the short span of our days? Know that our work during the 70 years of our days is divided in four. The first division is to obtain the excessive will to receive without restraints, in its full corrupted measure, from under the hands of the four impure worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. If we do not have that corrupted will to receive, we will not be able to correct it, for one cannot correct that which is not in him. Thus, the will to receive imprinted in the body at birth is insufficient. Rather, it must also be a vehicle for the impure Klipot for no less than 13 years. This means that the Klipot must dominate it and give it their lights, for their lights increase its will to receive. That is because the fulfillments that the Klipot provide, the will to receive will only expand and enhance the demands of the will to receive. And I am adding, we learn here that the purpose of childhood is to grow the desire to receive. For example, at birth, he has a desire for only 100 and not more. But when the Sitra Achra, the other side, provides the 100, the will to receive immediately grows and wants 200. Then when the other side, the Sitra Achra, provides fulfillment for the 200, the desire immediately expands to want 400. And if one does not overcome it through Torah and mitzvot and purifies the will to receive to turn it into bestowal, one's will to receive expands throughout one's life until eventually he dies without attaining half his desires. This is regarded as being under the Sitra Achra and the Klipot, whose role is to expand and enhance his will to receive and make it exaggerated and unrestrained in any way, to provide one with all the material he needs to work with and correct. Section 30. The second division is from 13 years and on. At that point, the point in his heart, which is the posterior of holiness, the end of holiness, is given strength. Not end as in ending, dying, God forbid, but ending as in the in a line, at the end of the line. This is given strength, this center point, this point in his heart. Although it is dressed in his will to receive at birth, it only begins to awaken after 13 years, and then one begins to enter the system of the pure worlds, to the extent that one observes Torah and mitzvot. The primary aim of that time is to obtain and intensify the spiritual will to receive, because at birth one has only a will to receive for physicality. Therefore, although one has obtained the excessive will to receive before he turned 13, it is still not the completion of the growth of the will to receive, for the primary intensification of the real will to receive is only to desire spirituality. And this is because if, for example, prior to turning 13, one's will to receive wishes to devour all the wealth and respect in this physical world, this is apparently not an eternal world. And for all of us, it is but a fleeting shadow. But when one obtains the excessive spiritual will to receive, one wishes to devour for one's own delight all the wealth and delights in the next eternal world, which is an eternal possession. Thus, the majority of the excessive will to receive is completed only with the will to receive spirituality. And I am adding, the teen years continues the growth of the desire to receive. In this case, the desire to receive grows and develops desire to receive spiritual pleasures in addition to the desire to receive physical things. Verse 31. It is written in the new Tikkun about the verse, the horse leech has two daughters. Give, give. A leech means hell, and the evil caught in that hell cry as dogs. Hav, hav. The Hebrew meaning is give, give. Meaning give us the wealth of this world and give us the wealth of the next world. Yet it is much more important to grieve than the first, since aside from obtaining the full measure of the will to receive, giving one all the material that one needs for one's work, this is the degree that brings one to Lishma, for her name. It is as our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, lo lishma, not for her name, as from lo lishma, one comes to lishma. From not for her name, one comes to do things for her name. Hence this degree, which comes past the 13 years, is deemed holiness. And this is considered the holy maid that serves her mistress, which is the holy Shekhinah. This is because the maid brings one to Lishma, and he is rewarded with the inspiration of divinity. Yet one should take every measure suited to bring one to Lishma, since if one does not strain for that, and does not achieve Lishma, he will fall into the pit of the impure maid, which is the opposite of the holy maid, whose role is to confuse a person, that the Lolishma will not bring him to Lishma. It is said about her, handmaided that is heir to her mistress, for she will not let one near the mistress, which is the holy divinity. And the final degree in this division is that he will fall passionately in love with the Creator, as one falls passionately for a physical love, until the object of passion remains before one's eyes all day long and all night long. As the poet says, when I remember him, he does not let me sleep. Then it is said of him, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. This is because the five degrees of the soul are the tree of life, which stretches over 500 years. Each degree lasts 100 years, meaning it will bring him to receive all 5 behinot, or discernments. The nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechida, clarified in the 3rd division. Section 32. The 3rd division is the work in Torah and mitzvot, lishma, for its own sake, for her sake, in order to bestow and to not receive reward. This work cleanses the will to receive for oneself and replaces it with a will to bestow. To the extent that one purifies the will to receive, he becomes worthy of receiving the 5 parts of the soul, called nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. And this is because they stand in the will to bestow, and cannot clothe one's body as long as the will to receive, which is opposite or even different in form from the soul, controls it. That is because the matter of dressing and equivalence of form go hand in hand. And when one is rewarded with being entirely in the will to receive, in the will to bestow, and not at all for oneself, he will be rewarded with obtaining equivalence of form with his upper nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida, which extend from one's origin in the Ein Sof in the first state through the pure atzilut, bria, yetzira, and asiya, and will immediately extend and clothe him in a gradual manner. The 4th division is the work conducted after the revival of the dead. This means that the will to receive, which had already been completely absent through death and burial, is now revived in its excessive, worst will to receive, as our sages have said. The dead will be revived in their flaws, and then it is turned into reception in the form of bestowal. However, there is a chosen few who were given this work while still living in this world. And I am adding, anyone can receive the work of learning to transform their desire to receive from a desire to receive for the purpose of sharing. This is where we're going to end our class today. Next week, we will pick up at section 33. Does anyone have a question? I remind you that tomorrow, Tuesday at 4:30 West Coast time, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will be doing a Zohar class. That because of my phone problem, we skipped this past Motzi Shabbat. I also remind you that this coming Saturday night is our Rosh Chodesh Tammuz connection. And because of the energy of Tammuz, I highly recommend that you join us for that connection. I wish shalom to all of you, to have much peace in your life. Be well, be happy, and share peace with others. Shalom to all.
Shalom to all. Thank you.
Thank you.